And I left it alone.
My name is Bob. I'd like to welcome you to the We Do Recover workshop. Will you please open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the reverse and the serenity prayer, please? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm still an addict. My name is still Bob. I would like to welcome you to the Lower Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous 5th Annual Unity Retreat. We'd like you to join us in celebrating the recovery fellowship that we have come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA Unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only addicts share in the workshops. In accordance with our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting. Thank you for registering. You should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection on Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, and let's carry the NA message and not the mess. What is the NA message? Our message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose his desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, because that is all we have to give. That no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. Basic text, page 65. The NA way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, talking about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. Speaking this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities and not our differences. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity to level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the unity retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Say this is the We Do Recover workshop. Can we please have a reading of We Do Recover?
My name is Charlie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Charlie.
We recover. And at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, whether with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter end, fail the institutions or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you, Charlie. We have the blessing of having two people who are going to share their experience, strength, and hope with us today. The first person I had the pleasure of meeting here last year, this individual was actually our spiritual speaker, and got a chance to talk with her a little bit more at Marlikna, and I missed the pig roast last weekend, but I'm looking forward to today, and I want to bring you from the Miracles in the Mountains group in Narcotics Anonymous, Sonya.
Hi everybody, I'm Sonia and I am an addict.
Hi Sonia.
Woo! I'm nervous. It never fails that when people ask me on topics, especially if they're chapters in the book, I want to frantically go through and memorize every bit of it so that I can sound real profound and quote everything from the basic text. But my recovery just doesn't work like that. I remember words to songs if I'm singing them on the radio. I'm not one of those people that can remember stuff. So I guess that's kind of a blessing because I can't just get you with my memory. You know, you're going to have some of my experience mixed in here, which is a good thing. But I've been reading it actually quite a bit because I've been going through a lot of stuff lately, and it all has to do with recovery. I've been clean for 17 years. I celebrated in July. So we do recover. There's no way that I would have stayed clean that long without blowing my brains out if I did not have a program of recovery to apply to a very fractured, love-deprived personality when I came in, because that's where I was at, man. I mean, I was just an empty shell of a person. I came in very young, and that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You can't stay clean young. You can come in with not having a real juicy war story of active addiction. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I was empty and didn't have that. I had enough pain, and that was enough for me. It's interesting because one of the first thing that it says in the in We Do Recover is about surrender being the first thing that we have to do in order to start this process and really get with the fact that our lives are I am completely powerless over the disease of addiction. You know, it's like that rules my life. That thing is much more powerful than me, and I tried to control it for a while in when I was using, and it just didn't work. And I think the real surrender for me was the surrender to this process of change, which was the principle of the program, and really surrendering to that. I fought lots of parts of it, but it was appealing to me intellectually right from the beginning. You know, I mean, like, all of it kind of made a lot of sense to me intellectually. It took a long time for it to, what do they say, that 12 inches, the journey from your head to your heart? You know, I mean, on some of the issues, it really took a long time for me with that. And I don't know. I mean, there's still a lot of things that keep me from... There's still a lot of issues that I am growing through, and I guess that's a good thing. You know, right now I'm working on, I guess, my third or fourth step. And let me tell you, none of them have been as real as this particular one that I'm going through right now, because I'm willing to own some stuff that I wasn't willing to own even last year. I also have 10 months without cigarettes. Real good timing. I was a real moron to do those two at the same time. You know, I mean, but in a way it's a blessing in disguise, because a lot of stuff is coming up and it needs to come out, and then it needs to be renegotiated. And I really think that, I don't know, my experience with the steps and all the different things that I've gone through in this program, every one of them is valuable. And it talks about also when We Do Recover about empathy. And I was really thinking about that. You know, like, empathy is where I guess I can take my experiences and be able to know exactly where you're at when you're sharing one that's similar. You know, and really being able to do that and understanding that people go through different waves in this program. You know, and there's many thresholds that we pass through in this program as well. I'm not the same person that walked into these rooms. I am not the same person. I was nervous all the time. You know, I mean, groups of people, conventions, any place where there was a group of people, I was terrified. I was also terrified alone. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? So I really needed a program of recovery, both with, I needed fellowship, and I also needed a program to work on the inside of me. And that did not come easy for me. You know, even staying here, you know, it's, and what I mean by that is that I really believe that somewhere in your recovery, you have to make a decision to make a commitment to a fellowship and stick with it no matter what. You know, I didn't do that. You know, and for me, it was kind of a revelation to come back to Narcotics Anonymous. And I was in Narcotics Anonymous for like 7 years, and then I went over to somewhere else for a little while, and then I came back. I'll just leave it at that. And that's what I had to do for me. And these last 4 years, I've gotten into the fellowship part of this program. And it's like, We Do Recover. The we part of it for me is that I missed out on all the fellowship stuff. I focus real on the program. I like the program. I believe in the program, meaning, you know, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts. I believed in all that. What I didn't get was all of you. You know what I mean? I did not understand that. Open up and let you see who I was. That took a really long time. I am a very prideful person. I am very much into what people, it's breaking, it's changing, but I was very much into what people thought. My packaging, okay, and my, what I call my resume, what I can tell you I do. You know, I mean, like, I never thought that me alone was valuable enough. I always thought that it was what I did and the ideas I had and the, you know, I mean, and how much I could memorize, like I said at the beginning. I mean, that was what I thought. That's what I thought Sonia was. And to be able to, like, open up to another person, that took a really long time for me. You know, it's and that's just where I'm at. Can you stay clean and do that? It's hard, but yeah. You know, I mean, it's like I don't know. Some people, I'm getting to the place where I'm finally believing that everyone has their own path in recovery. And it even says that in We Do Recover. There is no such thing as a model addict, recovering addict. And I was like, free me! Because I was always looking for a formula to do things the perfect way. You know, and it's like, and that's not the way that this program works, at least from my observation of a lot of people in this program. There's only two things that I see that you got to do. And that's not use and go to meetings. And that's really it. You know what I mean? That's really it. And then the rest of it, it will be dictated by you living life on life terms and doing the best that you can, doing the next right thing. You know, and it's like, and I don't know, through that I've learned about my intolerance, my arrogance, my about how judgmental I can be about, because I see someone else go off on like a left-hand turn and I'm like, hello, you're doing that wrong. You know, and it's like, and then lo and behold, those people come back and have a whole bunch of information for me, you know, that I didn't get when I first got here. And these are all skills that I learned later in the program after working through steps about and letting people be who they are and then allowing myself to be who I am. You know, I mean, because it's kind of interesting. My recovery kind of happens from the outside in, is that I have to learn kind of how to do stuff with you guys first, and then it comes inward. I don't know if that makes sense. But it's, so I had to kind of learn how to stop judging you so I could stop judging me. It's weird, you know, and then it kind of happens simultaneously. But I was real hard on myself for a really long time in this program. I didn't like me and couldn't accept a lot of things that I had done in recovery. This fourth step I'm doing right now, there isn't much active addiction in it. You want to talk about some pain, having to look at my shortcomings and a lot of the crap that I've been doing in recovery. That's hard. I mean, because it's like, you know, because I get into that, I should have known better. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and you get into this all this crap, and you know what? Bullshit. It's just my disease trying to walk me out this door to separate me from all you guys. I feel great that I actually have this much clean time and I'm even willing to do a four-step that's bringing up pain. That's okay. That's cool to me. Because for me, I got a lot of years back-to-back that were highly functional. And I was learning how to get closer to people and more close to myself. And now it's like I'm not real comfortable with me. And that's okay, you know, because I know that it will pass. My feelings aren't fast, as they said. But I'm an addict, and whenever I feel anything that is of the blue nature, on the blue side, I just want to change it. You know what I mean? I just want to go into some action to change it. And really, what I need to do is sit still and let myself pierce through the pain. But I don't do that well. You know, I've been doing it now for like the last 3 months. Oh, guys, it's amazing to me that today I'm having a good day, but I have been in some pain. You know, and it's like, it's really, I don't know, really just kind of owning who I am, and that's like the humility part of it, you know. And again, going back to the fact that in recovery, there's been a lot of growth, but there's been a whole lot of mistakes too. And I see a lot of people getting beat up in the room about the mistakes they make and shit. And you know what? Every one of those mistakes turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because it threw me the other way in recovery. You know, it's like it actually gave me the opportunity to change it. And even till this day, you know, I'm still learning about all these defenses that I have inside me. Like, I have no like planned thing here. You're getting stream of consciousness and caffeine and 5 hours of sleep. So I guess
sounds
this
like
is,
message.
Yeah, this is good. This is good. I haven't given up caffeine yet. I'm not giving that up. It's all I got left. cigarette. Yes, you're right. I'm not another writer. But I really think that's what it's about in this program, you know, is that the fact that we continue to go through and cycle through the steps is to become more and more effective for our higher power to use us to serve other people. And that ties in with the empathy. You know, because it's like, it's really hard for me to judge a newcomer that I see off in a gazillion relationships when I've done that. I can't, you know, I mean, actually, I can offer that person something and say, you know what, just don't use, go to meetings, and when you're ready to stop doing that, you'll stop. You know, but it isn't on my timetable. You know, and it's I don't know. I gotta talk about this, and then we'll see where this leads, because this is fun. When I was 15 years old, my first love got killed in a car accident, and something happened to me when that happened, and there's a part of me, when it comes to relationships that shut down when you get too close, and I know all of you relate to this, because this is also a trait of the addict as well. You know, it's that whole thing, come here, go away. You know what I mean? How do they do that? They like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting, because every time that I get into like four-step stuff and about getting close to people, I rub up against this thing. You know what I mean? And it's very painful for me that there's a part of me that's so protective of who I am. You know, I don't know if really hard to own that you're not who you thought you were. I guess that's where I am. There's a level of me that's shut down, and I'm still hurting with the knowledge of that. You know, it's like, is it getting better? Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's not, I'm not there yet. I am not a completely open, enlightened being for God to use. And I'll tell you what, even with clean time, sometimes I feel like I'm supposed to be just that, with always a right-on-the-money message, and always being on the straight and narrow and not acting out in any ways. And it's just sometimes I'm not. I'm not there. You know, it's like the one thing we do recover. I think the biggest gift that I've been given is the fact that I know that I am a valuable spiritual being regardless of everything that I just told you. That's the one gift that I've been given, is that I have a higher power, and that inside me, what I do, although it affects who I am, it's not who I am. You know, I mean, there's this other thing that I've discovered, and it's the relationship with my higher power in me. I don't know, and again, me not smoking, right in this fourth step, and kind of getting in touch with yet another layer so that I can open up just a little bit more, give a little bit more love, you know, remove those cigarettes from my life because they kept you at bay, you know, and it's like, and let you in a little bit. And I believe in what I call emotional musculature, and it's like when we're going through these steps and we're dealing with all this stuff, it's like they're like real weak muscles that need to get stronger, so you've got to practice. And that's, I just heard that in a meeting before me. And you got to practice. You know, you got to, all your little muscles have to be in there doing push-ups. And it's like, but it's scary, you know what I mean, to go into all that. Because I always want to be safe. I want control. I want to know that I'm not going to get hurt, that where I'm going is the right direction. I want, like, all these guarantees. And that's not recovery. You know, recovery is daring to, like, realize that you're more than you ever imagined. And you're also not as big as you think you are. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's like a really weird place to be. You know what I mean? Just the kind of being, you know, and this is my spirit, you know, and it's like, and I've been having, like I said, I've been in a shitty place for a couple of months now. And that's a gift, to be able to have both. To feel shitty and to know that I'm okay in the same place inside me. Because that's not something I walked in here with. You know, it's like, you know, I was very extremist. You know, and if I felt one way, I would make the other way happen and vice versa. And I spent a lot of time going back and forth. But I don't know. I'm not the same person hardly at all. My insides are different. My outsides are different. You know, it's like, you know, I was 20 years old when I came in here. So it's like, you know, body parts are falling off. I love this aging process. This is like, I'm so rudely aware of it too. I'm like, holy Christ. You know, and it's just, but it's weird. It's like, I mean, change is everything in this program. I talked about that in Weaving Recovery as well, that this is a personality change. And I've definitely had one from a very external thinking to a very we service internal and external thinking, which is very different for me. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm sorry if I can't, like, I mean, last year I was so in such a good place when I came here to share. And I guess I had some expectations that I was going to be able to kick ass like that again this year. I'm not really feeling up to it. This is where I'm at. I'm kind of jumbled. I'm a little confused about where I am in my recovery, but I go back to what I said earlier. I mean, you're new in the program. I don't care if you have 10, 15, 20, 25 years in the program. You don't usually go to meetings, and that's really it. The two non-negotiables. That's it. All the rest, don't have fun. Learn to live life. You know, when you find yourself up against one of those situations, you know, come back to the meeting. You know, it's just like there's no reason to not be here while you go through stuff. I don't know. I feel real grateful to be here. Thank you guys for asking me to share. I think that's all I got. Thank you.
Next individual that we had asked to share is someone who I've gotten to know a little bit better as time goes on. He was here when I got here, you know, and that's something like real special. But I didn't really get to know him that well in the beginning because I used to only see him once a month, and that was at area service. And then I got a phone call one day. I was in the halfway house, and I just couldn't up and go anywhere I wanted to go at any time. But and I didn't know how it happened until a little later, but I had been to Indiana, where this individual was from, like a couple weeks before that. We went down there, like 10 of us with a friend who was going to share. And so it was out of the district that I was allowed to go without permission, you know. It's just a little bit further than they allowed me to travel without. But I got this phone call, like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, asking me if I could be in Indiana that night. And so I had to go ask the director of the halfway house and all that if I could go. And then I come to find out none of my support group was available. No, and I drove to Indiana. I was there at 7 o'clock. The meeting was at 8. And I tried to go back to Johnstown because at 10 of 8, there was no one there. I said, oh, great, they canceled this, you know. And at 5 of 8, this individual showed up, and I don't know. It's been, I don't get to spend that much time with him. But I always like to hear what he has to say, and it's always a pleasure when I do get that chance. You know, God just brings us together when the opportunity presents itself. And with that, I'm going to give you from the Wide Die Group, John Kay.
I'm John. I'm an addict.
John.
Man, that was an introduction there. Thanks. Yeah, I'm kind of getting a reputation, I guess, with, I don't know, my home group. I came from a different area to where I live now, and it's a smaller area, and where I came from, the foundation is huge. So I guess I became dubbed the official speaker getter person, and it's just kind of stuck for years now. And that's okay with me, because when I was new, I used to belong to a home group that we had like 100 and some home group members. And I used to, you know, be pissed all the time because I couldn't chair the meeting and pick the speaker. You know, I only got to do it like maybe once every second year. And, you know, because there were so many people that I wanted to hear the message from, you know. And, you know, it's weird, you know, when we let go, we kind of get what we want sometimes. And, you know, as a result, that's what happened. I am going to take whoever said to sit back here suggestion, and it's only because my legs are killing me. This topic is real appropriate for me at this point in my life. I mean, we do recover as long as we're in these rooms. We're always, you know, living this topic for that moment if we're in these rooms. However, there's more to that than just addiction for me, you know, when it comes to this topic, and that's about, you know, pain in life, not just using drugs. And I'm in the middle of that right now in my life, so this topic is definitely appropriate. And it's also appropriate physically. For some reason, you know, one of the guys they sponsor, and, you know, I asked him if he wanted to stay at my place, you know, to come down here. And he said, well, okay, we'll get up at 4 in the morning and go jogging. Because I was joking around how I've, like, dropped, like, 8 pounds over the anxiety that I've been going through. And, you know, I'd like to keep it off. And I know, you know, I learned from in the penitentiary that the only way to really keep weight off is to shrink fat cells. And that's through exercise. And I told him, you know, I'd like to start jogging. He told me, well, we're going to go at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, 4 o'clock in the morning came, and he wasn't up. And I ended up at 6 o'clock, which, for me, that's doing real good. And so I woke him up, and I'm like, come on, you ready? He's like, huh? I was just kidding. So now I'm awake, and it's like, okay, well, hell with it. You know, I want to go. And my legs are killing me. That's why I'm sitting. And the good part of that is I know my legs will recover because I've been here before. And you know what? That's pretty much my story with this, too. Like, the pain that I'm going through right now is, you know what? I've been around a while in Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been in this pain already, you know. So I already know that I will recover. You know, it's just a matter of taking the time, being patient, and talking about it. You know, I hate the phrase, it'll pass, you know, because to me, you know, I can hear that a lot of different ways, and one of the ways I can hear that is, just sit still, it'll be okay. And to me, that's like using. You know, for me, recovery isn't about using, it's about taking action to address a problem. And That's what I got to do if I want to live and if I want freedom from whatever it is in my life, whether it's using drugs, relationship, financial crisis, loss of a job, loss of a family member, friend using, someone dying. I got to take action and deal with those feelings, you know, because today I'm still capable of using without putting a drug in me, you know. I can get caught up in sleep. You know, I kind of let fall behind. I think I did that some consciously, like the bill. Because I hate TV, man. It's evil to me. You know, it's like I come home from work, and if it's on, I catch 5 seconds of what's on. It's like 3 hours later, and it's like, whoa, I got a whole bunch of work I got to do yet. You know, and it's like my life just became unmanageable. I didn't use a drug, but, the escapism. And, I guess I didn't open with your line, Todd, wherever you are, but I was walking down here and I heard someone ask Todd, there he is, how long it took him to get here? And he said about 5 hours. And my thought was about 37 and a half years. You know, and I was just kind of being kind of facetious in my mind. And I really, you know, caught myself and thought about it. And that really is true. You know, we do recover, and it's a process. And, you know, a year from now, how long it took me to get there will be 38 and a half years. I'm so grateful for our steps because I really, and this is my belief, you know, I believe we're born as close to perfect as we can be. They say we're created in an image, and I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to go there. That's something altogether different. You know, but when I was born, you know, my eyes opened and I started to see stuff in life. And I had choices on what I learned. And for what reason, I don't know, a lot of what I learned or chose to learn was based in negativity. You know, and I didn't know that I had a choice to live different. You know, I was caught up, I didn't even realize that it was unhealthy for a long, long time. And at some point, I started to realize that, you know what, it ain't right. And, you know, I watched other people, and it's like they had normal lives, and I didn't. And, you know, why can't I do this? You know, and I didn't know that there was another way. I got here as a result of the first time, not really sticking around. I don't consider myself a relapser because first time I came to NA, I went to 2 meetings, and I heard the word God. I heard people talking about putting needles in their arms, and that wasn't me. I justified my addiction by being better than if I, you know, was around someone like that or I, you know, heard them. And I seen guys hugging guys, and it was like, you know, I focused on, you know, what I didn't like and the difference. I didn't hear any of the similarities. You know, and as a result, it was 2 years before I came back. And, you know, 2 years later, though, see, my mind was really working. You know, I went to my mother's house to crash from being up for about 3 days. And I might have been asleep maybe a half hour. And I've told my mom, you know, shaking my leg and saying, you know, there's a certified letter here, a registered letter, whatever they are. And I was expecting it because I was trying to get a normal life at that point. I had taken a test for a union job, and they said they'd send it registered. And I went to sign for this thing, and before I even could blink, there was handcuffs on my wrist. They were behind my back, and my face was on my mother's living room floor. And my mom screaming, what's going on? And I ended up handcuffed to her chair. And that was a real humiliating experience for me. However, that's pain that I choose not to ever forget, because that's pain that helps me stay here, you know, whenever stuff gets bad. I haven't really had a desire to use in a long time. Once in a while I get thoughts about, you know, wow, it would be nice, and I don't really desire to use. I heard someone share yesterday about it takes 90 days to form a habit, and I guess maybe I've done it so many times, like, you know, when I had those desires, I thought through the process, but now it's like whenever I, you know, even it kind of pops in my mind, it's like I end up all the ways at the end that quick. You know, I know And I kind of laugh at myself. And I'm real grateful for that. And that doesn't mean that I'm not capable of using, because I really believe anyone can use and at any moment. Because sometimes it's so subtle, and it's like, boom, you're there. And, you know, because I talk to a lot of people. One of the things that went through my mind listening to Sonya share, you know, it was about the Wii and stuff. And my first sponsor, I'm real grateful to him, because that was the first assignment he gave me. I asked him to do the first step, and he said, you know, just do the first word. And I didn't even know what it was. And for real, I didn't. And he asked me if I knew what it was, and I said, I don't know. And he kind of smiled, and it wasn't degrading or anything. And, you know, he gave me some reading to do, and I had to write something, and it became, you know, a big deal. And, you know, whenever it comes to do recovery, I'm a firm believer, and this is my belief. You see, I have a pretty good amount of time clean. However, that time is not mine. It does not belong to me, folks. That's your time, you know. The time that's in this room right here at this moment is the time that matters to me, because I need you. You know, that's how I live. We do recover. It doesn't say I recover. It says we do recover. And I need others in my life. You know, that's probably why they wrote it, we do recover. You know, and, you know, that saying, you know, once an addict, always an addict. You know, it's a lie. And you know, I'm one of the person, I got an analytic mind. I tend to get compulsive obsessive in healthy ways, I guess. I'll look at things, you know, deeper. I want to get to other levels. And you know what? There's another lie that's behind this addiction when you take it further. And that's like, you know, when life happens and it's not about using, but you feel hopeless. You know what? That's a lie. You know, whenever, you lose the job and it's like, you know, I'll never get another job like that. You know, that's a lie. You know, that's my disease in full force and action trying to tell me I'm a worthless piece of motherfucking shit. Pardon my language. You know, because that's what my disease wants me to think. And it's a lie. You know, I am worth something today. I always was. I just didn't know it. And it took me to get here to find that out. You know, the stuff has helped me get to a point, you know, where I really, really am okay with myself. Sometimes I'm too okay with myself. My home group sometimes, you know, harasses me about that. And they're just like, you know, how can you, you know, just sit there and, you know, be okay with that? And you know, I guess that's, you know, acceptance and like what's, you know, Sonya said, surrender. And you know, there's other times in my life, though, too, and I got a real big lesson this week. I don't know, about 10 days ago, someone was living with me, and there was a relationship. And this person came to me, and they said, you know, we have a real good life. Everything's great, and we haven't really been spending a lot of time intimate, you know. And we're just kind of existing in the same household because life was going on. And this is my side of the street about recognizing life going on. And she said, you know, she went a little bit farther and said, you know, I'm scared because I'm okay with that. You know, I want more, but I'm scared. And I didn't really know how to, you know, take this, you know, what I was supposed to say. And it kind of snowballed over the next couple of days, and as a result, like, she's not there anymore. And I was just kind of, like, sitting there, like, wow, what happened? I was lost, you know. Things were good, and, you know, I really couldn't see anything wrong, and I was trying to understand. And I thought I was, like, crazy, like, there was something I should have said at that time. I was telling my friend last night the exact situation. And the first words out of his mouth is, what do you say to that? How do you react? And it was like, thank you, you know, because that's what I felt. But no one had said that, you know. There really was nothing to say. It was, it belonged to her. It didn't belong to me. And I was looking for the answers. It was for her to find them. And, you know, so the things that I found this week, you know, was, see, I thought, you know, things were going to work out, and I was working towards, you know, trying to, you know, do more for this relationship, because as a result of some other bad choices, some bad choices through recovery, I'm on a financial point right now that my will says I should be at because of this relationship I was in. I wanted to do more, and I couldn't. So I was trying to control things. I'm like busting my ass trying to go out to work, and I was on the phone constantly this week because I couldn't get to meetings because now there's more financial responsibility on John. You know, there's not another rowdy in this house. And my job involves sales, so in front of a customer, I go through one product with them. It's like, no, 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 no. So I pivoted to something else. No, no, no. And I just was like, okay, see ya. Grabbed my back and started for the door. I wasn't saying nothing else. And the person saw me. They said, well, wait a second. You said something about, you know, like this other product. And I got an employee, and he benefited from it. And the light bulb went on. You know, I didn't realize that I was trying to control my job instead of just doing it and having faith and leaving the results, you know, in another power's hands. You know, I took the reins because it was John's will. He wanted, you know, these things instead of just walking through life and having a goal and leaving the results and practicing, you know, the spiritual principles, acceptance, surrender, open-mindedness, you know, all those principles that are behind the steps. And, you know, as a result, a couple of years ago, I was in the same predicament. And, you know, it realistically probably took me 2 years before I was really, you know, mentally and emotionally recovered from the end of that, you know, relationship. And, you know, we do recover as a really neat process because on Wednesday this week, I was still feeling like really a lot of pain. And don't get me wrong, folks, I still feel, you know, something right now. However, it's like a light switch went on. And I'm at a point so much quicker right now where it's not that I don't have feelings or emotions towards that person. It's just that it's like right there. I know I'm going to be okay regardless today. And it's not for me to come to some understanding of why this all happened. What's important is where does John go from right here, this moment, and what's the solution, you know, that's in front of me, you know? And that's to practice acceptance, work these steps, be involved in this program, you know, to the best of my ability, and the rest will take care of itself. You know, I just have to, you know, practice surrender, acceptance, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, patience, faith, trust. Well, we have a tape there.
No, you're doing good.
Okay. And all the other spiritual principles, humility. And what I mean is to stay focused on them because those are the solution. You know, that's what we do recovery is about. When I work at those principles, I heard a lot of things. I guess I have some pet peeves. I just came from a meeting where a guy talked about, you know, when we talk about trusted servants, they do not govern. And someone usually says, thank God. I have a real pet peeve with that because, yeah, you're damn right. Thank God. Thank you for stepping forward and doing it. You know, we do recover for me is about treating each other right and sending positive messages to each other. And that's a condescending comment when we say that in a meeting. You know? And I need to be aware of when we do that type of stuff. And if I do something like that, I hope someone pulls me aside. If they don't see that I'm aware of it and says, hey, do you realize what you just did? You know? And we do recover. You know, sometimes I hear stuff about old school, you know, and how they used to call people on their shit. You know, and I believe in calling people on their shit. However, I realized in the last week that I talk about that means. However, I never described what my process with that is. And my process with that is taking time to listen to that person or watching. If they're doing something and they have some awareness and they're expressing some pain, I do not need to say anything to that person. My responsibility at that point It should just be another member and listen. If they ask for some suggestion, give it. However, if it's clear that they don't see it or are unaware of it, then I need to, in a loving manner, bring it to their attention. And that's the end of my job. What they do with it from that point on is theirs. It's not for me to sit there and try to control them. You know, work on this. You know? And I think I probably learned that the most from being in relationships and sponsoring people, too. But there's a lot of things that we recover from in life. And for me, the thing that I've been realizing about this topic more and more is the longer I stay in this program and the more I practice it, when stuff happens, because eventually I run across the same situation that I got to recover from or something that's real similar, I'm capable of recovering quicker and quicker the more times I go through it. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, my best friend, we were playing football on the tar lot football, and the call, you know, it was a bad call or whatever, and I said something about it, and he got in my face, and he said, no, that was a good call, and he's like, you wanted to fight over it, and I was like, caught me off guard, like, whoa, you're my best friend, you want to fight over it, it's a game, and as a result, I didn't talk to him. That was like, I was probably around about 11 years old. I didn't talk to that guy until I was about 18 ever again. You know, that's how long it took. And then we became real good friends again. You know, and then a similar process happened a little bit later. You know, we were out there together using the end of the bar I was dealing, and whenever this all came about, I caught an attitude because he owed money to me, you know, and I needed money for a lawyer, and he didn't give it to me, so I didn't talk to him for a short period of time, and he even came to the rooms and asked me to be his sponsor, and I said no. I don't know whether that was a bad thing or a good thing, it just was. But I started talking to him shortly. It didn't take, you know, almost 8 years before our relationship, you know, rekindled itself. You know, it was only a matter of probably about 6 months that time, you know. And that's pretty much, you know, the process of my life with anything that goes on today. When something happens today, I do have a choice. You know, I can say it's hopeless and just let it sit there and do nothing about it or do the footwork and recover from it, you know. The things that I am positive about, though, is if I don't take action, I'm not going to get anywhere and I'm not going to recover. You know, for me, you know, I'm one of the believers in all the principles. However, the most important one to me is willingness, because without that, I can't recover. I know where I'm at. I was just allowing you to recover on your tape. Yeah, today my life is good. I have a lot of people who love me. My sponsor lives 4 hours from me, and he's been my sponsor for about 5 years. He's been trying to lure me for years to the city he lives in with jobs. And one of the reasons that I picked him was that I wanted what he had. And where I'm at right now in my life, I have today what I wanted in him, and that's like in this program of recovery with my family, and I could go other places and make a hell of a lot more money. However, I know from experience that life today isn't necessarily always about money for me, you know, because money does not make me happy. You know, it's being in touch with who John is that's where I really get, you know, my joy in life. Because if I don't know who I am, I can't appreciate anything in life. You know, at least in a healthy manner. And, you know, that's what this program has given me and helped me to regain and recover as John. And I suppose that is a proper ending. So I'm done.
you.
I'm still an addict. My name is still Bob, and actually, we still have a few.